We're beginning here on the top of Samach Bet and we're now left 2 lines down. The Gemara here is darshaning the psukim that are associated with the Nazir, Arachin, and Nidarim. We know that there is a hekesh between those three items. In yesterday's daf, we discussed the fact that Nazir and Nidarim have a hekesh between them. We also, in the pasuk that we're about to quote, we'll see that there's a hekesh between Nidarim and Arachin. And therefore, the Gemara wants to clarify, since we have Limudim that deal with Ish, and we're going to see that there are other limudim here with regards to the words in these psukim. Why do we need a limud in each one of these particular areas if there's a hekesh between them? In one of the items, it should suffice to tell us the halacha with regards to all the other items. So the Gemara says, whether the Girsa says ihochi or simply begins with the pasuk, ish kefli neder ve'erkecha ve'arachin lomali. The word ish over there by arachin, what is the purpose of that word ish? Now again, by Nidarim, we already darshaned Ish-Ish to teach us the fact that an Ovid Kochavim is included. In yesterday's daf, we had discussed the fact that by Arachin, there's Bnei Yisrael, which is a Miut, and then Ish, which is a Riboy, to include an Ovid Kochavim. But now the Gemara wants to clarify, is that really necessary? Because we darshaned Ish-Ish by Nidarim to teach us that there is relevance by Nidarim to a Goy. We also, by Nazir, attempted to figure out if there's any relevance to the word Ish over there. And we came to the conclusion that it's not either, as the Mefarish says, that it was brought down onto the word Isha, and it's Halo Litzorech, or according to the Balei Tosafot, there's no drush on it. Now the Gemara wants to clarify with regards to the word Ish by Arachin. And it says, Ish, ki afli neder be'erkecha, barachin, lamali. Why do I need that statement by Arachin? Michte, hayitkish Arachin b'nidarim. Arachin have a hekesh to Nidarim, Damar Kra, because the pasuk opening the parsha of Arachin says Ish ki afli neder ve'erkecha. So it clearly indicates that Arachin are a subset of Nidarim. V'hatanyo gabei Nidarim, and we have an explicit braita by Nidarim. Ish matam adomar. What does the word Ish do for us by Nidarim? Ish derabot et ovdei kochavim shehin nudrin Nidarim unidavot ki Yisrael. Over there it's Ish Ish. So the word Ish over there teaches us that even an Ovid Kochavim can be Noder and Mitnadev Korbanot, just like Bnei Yisrael. So then, Ish ki afli b'arachin lamali. Then what do I need the word Ish by Arachin to tell us that information? So if you remember, again, in Arachin we have the word Bnei Yisrael, and the word Bnei Yisrael teaches us Bnei Yisrael below Ovid Kochavim. So that already has a miut to take out the Ovid Kochavim. On the other hand, we have a riboy of the word Ish. Until now, we assumed that riboy in the word Ish was from the parsha of Arachin itself. But now what the Gemara is indicating is that you don't need that Ish. From Nidarim itself, which has the word Ish, and is Mirabe Ovid Kochavim, that would already bring that tension into Arachin without the riboy specifically within Arachin. Because we have the word Bnei Yisrael by Arachin, which is a miut. We have the Ish by Nidarim, which is a riboy. So now I have the tension of to include an Ovid Kochavim or to exclude an Ovid Kochavim. But I don't need the word Ish in particular by Arachin to teach me that. And so what is that word doing? Elahai Ish mibayile. I need that Ish, latuye mufla hasamoch Ish. That Ish over there comes to teach you that not only is a gadol chayav in Arachin, if someone makes a commitment in that manner, that he will have to pay it and live up to that commitment, but even a mufla hasamoch Ish, which is someone who is prior to being a gadol, in the year for a boy, 12, and for a girl, 11, prior to their bar or bat mitzvah, in that year, if they understand what they're doing, and they have an intellectual capability to understand what the commitment is when they make a neder, then they are obligated to carry it out. So the word ish comes to teach us, not only as an absolute ish, gadol, chayav, and arachin, but even a muflasa mochli ish. My says, Hanicha l'mandamar muflasa mochli ish de'oraita. That works well for the one who says that when an individual who is almost of age, but has the cognitive ability to understand what they're doing, then the Torah says that they have the din of a gadol with regards to these matters. If that's a Torah law, then you can say that the ish is coming to mirabe that. L'mandamar de'rabanan, the one who says that that whole institution is only rabbinic in nature, then the word ish in the pasuk can't come to include it because that would make it a doraita inclusion and not only rabbinic. So therefore, ish ki afli lamali. According to that mandamar, what's the point of having ish ki afli? It's coming to include a mufla samuch l'ish of a non-Jew. The Gemara says, "Hanicha the man damar bnei Yisrael nerachin, veinu bdei kochavim nerachin." That works well for the one who says that a Jew can be the object of someone's neder arachin, but a non-Jew may not be the object of someone's neder arachin. You would think that the goy would not have the ability to commit to the parsha of arachin. Tamalomar ish, the word ish comes to say Shapir, he is and he does have that ability. This is the day that we saw in yesterday's daf that Bnei Yisrael have the right to commit to giving arachin based on the table in the Torah, but the Ovid Kochavim does not have a right to do that. You would think that they would not be relevant in the parsha of Arachin if they were the object of someone's commitment. Tamalomar Ish tells you that the Nerachin are also included in this case. Now, as the Balei Tosafot point out, the Rosh and others point out here, that the word Ish is not necessary for this limud, that it's using the word Ish to indicate. It's probably not the word Ish by Arachin, it's probably the word Ish by Nidarim. And that's what we spoke about before. We have a tension here, which is that it says Bnei Yisrael by Arachin, which says Bnei Yisrael, yes, Ovid Kochavim, no. And then we have a Reboy by Nidarim that says Ish, that Ovid Kochavim is included. That tension we have to resolve somehow. So there are two ways to resolve it, and that is what the Machloket Tanaim is over here, which is how do we resolve that inconsistency of including an Ovid Kochavim and excluding him. So one Deya says that an Ovid Kochavim has the right to commit to giving arachin, but he doesn't have the ability to be ne'erach, to be included in the value list that is mentioned in the Torah, and therefore someone says that the erech of that goy I commit to give, it would be meaningless, because he's not included in the paraparsha with regards to ne'erachin. On the other hand, the other Tana says no, that he's excluded from marichin, from the ability to commit to giving a neder arachin, but he is ne'erach. He would be subject to being the object of someone's neder arachin. And as the Gemara states, in arachin, the machloket is simply a logical argument. It's not a question about darshaning the psukim. It's a logical argument as to which one of those items is more likely to include the goy. Is it that there are more marichim than arachin? Which, as the Rosh points out over here, that the tumtum and androgynous have the ability to commit to neder arachin, but they are not ne'erach. So we see that there are more marichin, people who can commit and obligate themselves in a neder arachin, than there are people who can be objects of a neder arachin. And therefore he believes that that should be the split for an Ovid Kochavim, that he can commit, but he cannot be ne'erach, he cannot be the object of someone's neder arachin. On the other hand, the other Deah believes that marichin is something that is a commitment, that's something that the Torah prescribed to Bnei Yisrael. To be ne'erach, you don't have to be a bar deya, you don't have to be an individual who is chayav, because even young children can be ne'erach. And so too a goy can be ne'erach. So that's their machloket over there. And the word ish, most likely over there, is not literally the word ish by arachin, but the ish that's by nidarim that says include an Ovid Kochavim. Bnei Yisrael says exclude, and then we have to reconcile. So according to one who reconciles it by saying that the Ovdei Kochavim are marichim, that they have the ability to give a neder arachin, but they're not nerachin, then I can explain the word ish, or to be a reboy here by arachin, of a mufla samuch l'ish, Ovid Kochavim. That by a non-Jew, a mufla samuch l'ish would be included in this case. Mufla samuch l'ish by an Ovid Kochavim would be relevant because a goy himself can enter into a neder arachin and commit to do that, and therefore you extend that to include a mufla samuch l'ish from Ovid Kochavim. On the other hand, if you believe that a goy himself doesn't have the ability to be ma'arich, to give arachin, then mufla samuch ish to be included is meaningless. If an ish, a goy himself can't do it, then a goy who is almost an ish should also not be able to do it. And that's what the Gemara says. In the stages so far, we first attempted to say that the word ish comes to include a mufla samuch ish. The Gemara says that works well according to one who says mufla samuch ish is a din d'oraita. According to one who says a din d'rabbanan, what are you going to do with it? But we use ish to say that by an Ovid Kochavim, a mufla samuch l'ish is chayav. So again, here we say that works well according to one who says you are ma'arich, that a goy has the ability to be ma'arich. But it doesn't go well according to one who says that a goy doesn't have the ability to be ma'arich, because then it would be meaningless to say that a muflas ha'malchish is also included in that case. Now, what will turn out from this is actually something that is very strange, which the Rishonim point out. According to the one who says that muflas ha'malchish by a Jew is only a din derabonon, here the Gemara entertains the possibility that it would be a din d'oraita for a goy. That means that a goy would be more chamur than a Jew. A Jew could only enter into a neder arachin once he was of age. On the other hand, a goy could enter into a neder arachin not only when he is a gadol, but even when he's a muflas, a mochlish. The oraita, the Jew could only do it when he comes of age. The oraita, the goy would be even able to do it. Mufla asamoch the ish. Midr abanan, the Jew would also be mufla asamoch ish. But it's amazing that the oraita, the goy is more chamur. In addressing that, the Mifarej says, Ba'al titama. Mishum de Israel ain't muflas amok leish no dream nidareim in a Torah. Kein matzinu bekamim mekomot shechmiru Torah alo eved kuchadim. This is not unusual that we find the fact that the Torah is more machmir with regard to novi kuchadim than it is by a Jew. And so the Mefarish says this falls into one of those items, and he gives examples of other items where we are more machmir with regards to a goy than we are by a Jew. And he says the same is true here. By the case of muflas amok leish, that will be more machmir and make that commitment binding for a goy, even when they're not of age, but they have the cognitive ability to understand what they're saying in the year before they come of age. Whereas for a Jew, the cutoff will be of age, and that's it. The Bali HaTosafot asked the same question on the previous amud, and they answer, which the Rosh explains more clearly, Bnei Yisrael are subject to Bal Yachel. That a Jew, not only if he commits to give arachin, does he now have an obligation to keep his nether, but he also has an isur min haTorah of Bal Yachel, that he may not profane that which he said. That Bal Yachel is only relevant by a Jew, it's not relevant by a non-Jew. And based on that, the Rosh explains that's exactly what the difference is between a Jew and a non-Jew. Behind Utaima, the cave in the Israel, Ati Lichlal Bal Yachel, since a Jew will come under the rubric of this isur of Bal Yachel, Kishiye Gadol, Lomar binan shiye nidro neder ad ati lechlal bal yachel. For the Jew, there is an integral connection between bal yachel, meaning that you may not profane your word, and the commitment or the obligation to keep one's word and that commitment. And therefore, since a person only becomes subject to bal yachel when they come of age, so too, when it comes to the nether itself being binding, that will also only happen midoraita when they come of age. On the other hand, for the Oved Kochavim, Aval Oved Kochavim, the Leta B'Bayachel, the Kra, they're not subject to the Isur B'Bayachel because they're not Chayav in the Mitzvot HaTorah. Marbinan Le Mi'ish, Ki Yafli, Marbinan Afilu Muflas HaMuchlish. Then when we include him from the word Ish, and the word Ish here is extraneous because we already know that Oved Kochavim is Shayach bin Nedarim, that Ish will be Mirabe, even a Goy who's a Muflas HaMuchlish, because he's not tied to B'Bayachel. So the Jew's commitment to keep the neder comes packaged with bayachel and isur to profane that word. And therefore, we're going to say the connection between the two of them says that that's only relevant once he is in the parsha of bayachel, and that's only when they come of age. On the other hand, for the goy, it's all about the positive statement that they can make such a commitment, and that commitment will be binding for them to carry out. But there is no bayachel, there is no Isur against profaning or not keeping one's word, and therefore we can extend their age range below the age of Bar Mitzvah to Amuflas Amuflas Midoraita, even though that would be more chamur than Israel. As an extension of that explanation, the Achronim over here explained that the idea of coming of age is something that is only relevant by a Jew, meaning that the age of 13 for a boy and 12 for a girl is purely a Bnei Yisrael phenomenon. They become a gadol, or the chazaka that one becomes a gadol at that point, and that the change of status happens at that threshold of 13 and 12, that's something that's unique to Bnei Yisrael. For the goyim, there is no such thing as an age trigger that creates a gadol or katan. It simply has to do with the cognitive abilities of the child, or the understanding of the child. And therefore, there's no fixed time when it happens. It's just when the child has the ability to understand, they become a gadol. When they don't have the ability to understand, they are a katan. And that threshold would not be based on age, but rather on their cognitive ability. And that would explain the difference here as well, which is for the Jew, once they come of age, then they're chayav. Before that point, they're not. For the Goy, there's no such threshold as an age, but rather it's about their cognitive ability. And that's what Muflas HaMufleish basically says, is that even if they're below that age range, if they have the capability to understand and make commitments like that, then they will be Chayav. And so they see this as a more broad statement about coming of age for a Jew versus a non-Jew. But now, we're still left in a bind for the individual who says that Ovdei Kochavim are Nerachin, but not Marichim. Because Afilu Tinok Ben Chodesh Bariruchehu, that even a youngster who's 1 month old is subject to Arachin. He's in the list of values that are Arachim, and he is Ne'erach. So Kiafli Lamali. So then what do I need the Kiafli Ish? Why do I need to include a Mufla Asamuch the Ish with regards to an Obin Kochavim? Because, of course, if the object of your Arachin could be even a 1 month old, then certainly a Goy who is a Mufla Asamuch Ish is going to be included. It has no relevance then, the word Ish teaching you a Mufla Asamuch the Ish. Now, the Mishonim here read this slightly differently. Some see the Gemara end here and say that we didn't find any reason for Ish. And then the Gemara moves on to a new question, which is Ki Yafli Lamali. Or, as I read it just now, it's a continuation and says, look, now that you have this word Ish is not relevant for the one who says Nerachin, then Ki Yafli Lamali. Then what is this for? Amar of Adar Ba'avo, Leutuye Oved Kochavim Gadol, comes to include an Oved Kochavim who's a Gadol. The Ava Gav the Gadol who, that even though he is of age, but Eino Yodel Afloat, but he doesn't know how, or he doesn't have the cognitive ability to understand what he is saying and the commitment that he's making. And as Balei Tosafot and the Rosh point out over here, this is only going to be relevant for one of the two Deot over here. According to the Deya, that a Goy does not have the ability to be Ma'arich, but only to be Ne'erach, then Kiyafli to tell me that if he doesn't have the cognitive ability to understand what he's doing, then that won't be meaningful. That's, of course, he can't even, if he was fully cognitive of what he was doing, he wouldn't be able to make such a commitment. So, of course, when he doesn't know what he's doing, he can't make such a commitment. And therefore, this is not relevant, according to that Manda Amar, who said that we're dealing with an Ovid Kochavim that could be Ne'erach. And since it's not relevant by Arachin, what Tosavot and the Rosh say is, Imeinu L'inyan Arachin, Tnei L'inyan Nidarim. And this will teach us something about Nidarim, not about Arachin. A neder of a Goy is only to face Kiyafli, when he understands and he has the cognitive ability and capacity to understand what he's saying, not just when he comes of age. According to the one who says that an Ovid Kochavim can be Ma'arich, that he can establish or obligate himself in a commitment to bring Arachin, then this statement is relevant. And as the Balei Tosafot point out over here, Le'atuyeh over here does not mean to include in the positive sense, but Le'atuyeh here means to include it to the exclusion, which means that a Goy is included for certain things, but excluded from other things. This will be captured under the exclusion, which is that it includes this person to the exclusion. Just like the Bnei Yisrael says, Bnei Yisrael, yes, Ovid Kochavim, no. According to the one who says that Marichin, that Goyim, are able to create or commit to bringing Arachin, but not Nerachin, but they can't be valued as an object of a commitment of Arachin, then that will not always be true. The Marich, we will now bifurcate that din and say, that's true when the Marich, when the one who is making that commitment, has the cognitive ability to understand what he's doing. And then it will be enough. By a Jew, again, this goes back to what we said before, a coming of age is the threshold whether or not they understand. After that point, their commitment is a commitment. For the Goy, the threshold will not simply be coming of age, but also their understanding of what they're committing to. So even if he was 14 or 15 years old, if he didn't understand what he was committing to or what he was saying or able to articulate it properly, then he wouldn't be obligated in the case of the Arachin. And that's what it means, La'atuyeh. But according to the Balei Tosfot and the Rosh, this is only relevant according to one who says Marichin, not according to one who says Narachin. And therefore, the way that the Gemara would read here is that we stopped the previous case and said we figured out, according to some opinions, why you need the word Ish. But right, according to some of the other opinions, we won't have a way to explain the word Ish. Now the Gemara begins a new stage and says Ki Yafli. The word Yafli, which we are Doresh. And we're going to see here that the Afli appears by Nidarim, and it appears by Nizirut, and we're Doresh those words. What does it mean? Ish ki Afli, Neder Be'er Kacha, by Arachin. And the Gemara explains, it comes to teach you that only someone who can be Mafli and has Hafla'ah, understands what they're committing to, and can articulate it clearly, they will be obligated in Arachin for a Goy. But otherwise, they'll be part of the exclusion, which says, Bnei Sol, yes, Ovid Kochavim, no. For that reason, the Balei Tosfot and Rosh see this as not a continuation of the previous piece, because we're trying to answer in the previous piece the word ish for the one who says that Ovei Kochavim can be the object of a neder arachin, but he cannot be the initiator or the committer to those arachin. And then the Gemara here gives another limud, which also only works according to one who says that a goy is marich, and not according to the one who says that a goy is ne'erach. Unless you darshan it in the method of Emenu Inya Lakan, Meu Inya Nidarim. Although it's not muchrach, seemingly from the way that they are presenting this statement, and so this doesn't help the situation before, and that's why they see this as a non sequitur, as a new beginning of the Gemara. Then they had the Mefaresh here as an unusual explanation, where he says that this is true according to both Deot, the Afopi de Bisrael, even though by a Jew, Kevin Shu Gadol, as soon as he comes of age, Afopi Shino De La Float, even though he doesn't understand what he's doing, or he doesn't know how to articulate, Devarav Kayamim, he's obligated. As long as he's a bar dat, he is obligated if he makes such a commitment. But, Gabayove Kochavim Mihu, Ein Yachol Harich, Ulindor Ache Gadol, until he comes of age, Vio De La Float. And he knows what he's articulating, and he knows, understands cognitively what he's entering into. The Divrei HaKol. This is according to everyone. And as the Mefaresh explains over here, both according to the one who says that an Ovei Kochavim is included to the Ha'arich in order to make a commitment of Arachin, and according to the one who says that he's only included Le'erach to be valued as an object of a Neder Arachin, according to both of them, everyone agrees now that the din will be that if he does not understand what he's saying, he cannot enter that commitment, and he cannot be marich. If he does understand what he's saying, he's of age, and understands what he's saying, then he would be marich. And that's even according to the one who says that only Ovei Kochavim is only included for nerach. And the machloket between them will revolve around nerachin. So everybody agrees, number one, that an Ovei Kochavim can be marich if he's of age and understands what he's doing. If he's of age and does not understand what he's doing, everyone agrees he cannot be marich. Their machloket is, can he be nerach? Can he be the object of someone's neder arachin? According to the Mandomer says nerachin, yes. The answer is yes. According to one says that nerachin, no. The answer is no. So the way the Mefaresh explains it in the end, this actually could be a continuation of the previous Gemara, which suggests that even according to the one who says that the goy is included for nerachin to be an object, he also believes that he can be ma'arich in certain narrow circumstances. And that's determined here by the word ish to tell us that the ish comes to say that that's only in instances where he's both of age and he understands what he's doing, because now we're combining kiafli with the word ish to teach us not only ish but also kiafli, and the two together are the limud over here. And therefore, for the Mefaresh, this can be a continuation of the previous Gemara, because even according to the Mandamar now in the Arachin, he uses the word maflin ish to teach us that you can be marich if he's of age, and he understands what he's doing. Now the Gemara says, well, Ela ki afli dichtiv rachmana gami nizirut lamali. Then what are we going to do with the ki afli by nizirut? We couldn't find any reason for the word ish over there, but the word ki afli appears there. What are we going to do with that? Michdei deit kish nizirut in darim. There's a hekish between nizirut and nidarim. Ki afli lamali. What do I need ki afli for? Again, as we said before, there's this hekish between nidarim and nizirut, nidarim and arachin, which means that any limud that you have in one of them should apply to all of them. So if we have ki afli by nidarim, which tell us that you have to articulate it clearly, and the ki afli by arachin that teaches you that's true by an Ovei Kochavim, that he must understand what he's saying in order to be obligated, then the ki afli by nizirut, what is that coming to do for us? Where it says, Tuye yadayim sheinim mochichot. Comes to include, yadayim sheinim mochichot. This is the first Mishnah in nizirut, the first Mishnah in nidarim, that tell us that there's a yad l'neder and a yad l'nizirut. That even though you don't make a clear statement about what you're doing, from the context or from the gist of what you're saying, we understand that that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to enter into a neder nizirut. And as we explained back in the Darim, what the guards do, yadayim sheni mochichot, the Balei Tosafot said that there are actually three levels. There's something where it's a yad mochiach, it's clear what you're saying, and there everybody agrees that you are committed to whatever it is you said, whether it's a nazir or a neder. There are yadayim sheni mochichot, where it's completely unclear and ambiguous as to what you said, and it's very hard to interpret it, even if you tell us afterwards what you meant. In that case, everyone agrees that it doesn't work. The question is that these in-between cases where, which are not yadayim sheni mochichot gamrei, they're somewhat unclear or somewhat ambiguous, but you could, either through explanation or context, come to some conclusion as to what the individual said. In that case, we had a machloket between Abaye and Rava. The Girsan our Gemara is Ditmar Yadaim Shein Mokichot. Abaye Amar Havyan Yadaim. They are Yadaim. Rava Amar Lo Havyan Yadaim. They are not Yadaim. So the Abaye Necha. For Abaye, that works out well because now we're saying Ki Afli comes to tell you that Yadaim Shein Mokichot are Yadaim. Elo the Rava Ma'ika the Meimar. According to Rava, what are you going to say over here? Now that is according to the Girsa that we have in our Gemara in the way that the Mifarish explains it over here. Which is that when the Gemara says latuye, it means it in the positive sense. It means that yadayim sheni mochid are included from the word hafla'a, that a hafla'a like that is considered to be a hafla'a. And therefore the Gemara says it works well for Abaye who believes that yadayim sheni mochichot have yadayim. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam has an alternate girsa. Tosfot here notes that there were many svarim that had a girsa that was slightly different here that said yadayim sheni mochichot Abaye amar lo have yadayim, Rava amar have yadayim. Says that many of this firm had that girsa, and it's incorrect, because first of all, it doesn't reconcile with what we have in the beginning of Masechet Nidarim. And in addition, you misunderstood how to read the Gemara over here. And that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says, that here we're Gores Ipcha, which is that Rav Amar lo havin yadayin, Abaye havin yadayin. And Abaye says they are yadayin. And when the Gemara says Hanicha, over here it's Hanicha the Rova. It works well for Rava. El Abaye Maike the Meimar. Why does it work well for Rava? Because when it says over here, Le'atuye, Yadayim Sheni Mokichot doesn't mean to include them in the positive sense to say they are in that Derech Nezirut, but right, Latuye, to exclude them. They come to include them in the exclusion of Hafla, and to say that Yadayim Sheni Mokichot lo havin yadayin. And based on that, the Gemara then says, Hanicho, the Rova, it works well for Rova, but Le'abaye might kill the Meimar. According to Abaye, if these are excluded, then what are you going to say for Abaye? What do you do with the word Ki Afli by the Ned Nezirut? And then the Tosfot brings from the Riva, who is Miyashiv Girsata Sfarim, who says that the Girsa this frame is correct, the Hachak, Michi Yafli, Yeterad Yachtiv Bet Pamim. Kiyafli is extraneous because it's written twice. Kadarish, and that's what their Doresh over here, Zek Amar, Ve'en Miyut Achamiyut El Rabot. That's what it's saying here, you have Kiyafli is a Miyut, Kiyafli is a Miyut, two Miyutim, two Yod Rabot, and says that Yadayim Sheni Mechichot, we're going to include them to say they are Yadayim. And based on that, then the Gemara would read, Hanichala Abaye, works well for Abaye, who says they are Yadayim, but it doesn't work well for Rava, who says that they are Einam Yadayim. And Tosfot says that the continuation of the Gemara reads much better according to that explanation of the Riva, because in the end, the Gemara is really going to discuss the fact that the word Kiyafli appears twice, and what do we do with that appearance twice, which seems to indicate that the Gemara already is dealing with an issue of why it's written twice, and that one solution was what the Gemara is suggesting over here, that Ein Miyot Achamiyot El Rabot, and the Gemara will give an alternate explanation at the end of the Gemara here. So now, according to our Girsa and our Gemara, according to Abaye, what are we going to do? And according to the Girsaot that were in the other Sfarim, according to Rava, what are we going to do over here? So, Kiyafli, mi boyele, the Rabbi Tarfon. We need Kiyafli for Rabbi Tarfon, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Mishim Rabbi Tarfon, en echad mehem nazir. None of them are nazirim. This is the case where they have two people approaching them, and one guy says, I'm a nazir if this is so-and-so, and the other one says, I'm a nazir if it's so-and-so, or I'm a nazir if he's a nazir, and so on and so forth. There were a whole bunch of permutations there. All of them are Nizirim, according to the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Tarfon, none of them are Nizirim, because Shalom Nitna Nizirut Ala Hafla. Nizirut has to be something that is articulated and clear at the moment of the Neder Nizirut that you are a Nazir. Can't be something that's left to uncertainty at the moment that you take the Neder Nizirut. Where it says, Anicha the Rabbi Tarfon. That works well according to Rabbi Tarfon Shita. El Rabbanon who disagree and say that Ki Afli does not exclude that. And Michael the Meimar, what are you going to say? Elami Bayalek, look at that's none, like the Mishnah that we have in Chagigah, which says, Heter Nidarim Porchim Ba'avir. That Heter Nidarim is something that floats in the air, Vein Lehem Amayshi Smochu, and they don't really have a real source in the Torah, Shibichtav. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Yesh Lehem Amayshi Smochu. Rabbi Lezer, amongst others, there suggests that there are ways to learn from Torah Shibichtav, the din of Heter Shal Nidarim. And Rabbi Lezer's method is this, Shneamar, Ish Ki Afli, Ki Afli, Shtei Pe'amim. It says, Ish Ki Afli, it has Ish Ki Afli by the Neder of Arachin. It has Ki Afli by a Neder Nizirut. Shtei Pe'amim, why do I need both of them? Again, if you have this Hekesh that connects them, one time would be sufficient. Why do I have both of them? Echad Afla Le'isur, Ve'chad Afla Le'eter. To come to teach you that there's a Hafla'a, an articulation that makes you Asur, and there's a Hafla'a that makes you Mutar. That means that if you explain your Neder and this is what you intended, and that is what you content, and you intend to keep it, then you keep the nether. Then if you articulate what the purpose of the nether was, but why it's not relevant to you, then you'll be mutar. Or, in other words, if you don't have charata, then what you said is a hafla'a, because then you articulated something clearly, and that's what you thought to do and wanted to do. On the other hand, if you have charata, then your articulation is not what you're feeling and not what you intended, and therefore you lack a hafla'a. And so the two haflaot, one comes to teach you that there's a hafla'a that obligates you and commits you, and sometimes there's a hafla'a, or the lack of hafla'a, that removes the nether, and that is this concept of heter nidarim. So Beis Nari says that even though the Mishnah seems to indicate that there's no source in Torah Shebichtav for it, I can find a source in the fact that there's a repetition of the word ki yafli. And that will help us now to understand what we do with the words ki yafli. And so now in the end, by a nazir, we're doresh ki yafli, we have a number of possibilities. The Gemara's final conclusion, which will work according to everyone, is this idea that it helps us to get to the drush of heter nidarim. The word ish, we will not be doresh by a nazir, because we couldn't find a relevant limud in yesterday's daf for it. And we know that an Obi Kochavim is precluded from the whole parsha of Nizirut based on the limudim we had yesterday. And therefore the word ish there, either we're not doresh it, or according to the Mefaresh, it's brought down because it says isha, but there's nothing to be learned from that word ish. By arachin, the word kiafli is part of the drusha that we say over here, and that's why it says shtei pamim to help us with that. The ish there will come for the number of possible drashot that we saw here today, whether that's to include a muflah samachlish of a Jew, or a muflah samachlish of an oid kochavim, or to exclude a goy who doesn't have hafla'a. We have, at least according to many deot, a reason for the word ish here. And then by nidarim themselves, we learn out that ish is the rabot at an oid kochavim that is included in the parsha. And both by Nazir and by Arachim, we have an exclusion. We have Bnei Israel, yes, Ovid Kochavim, no. By the case of Nazir, it will preclude him entirely from the world of Nizirot, based on the drusha that we had from Tumah, which bolsters that understanding of the word Bnei Israel. And by Arachim, we will reconcile between the Ish of Nidarim that says to include them, and the Bnei Israel by Arachim that says to exclude them, by either saying that they are relevant by Arachim, by Marichin, and not Nerachin, or the other way around, they're relevant by Nerachin and not Marichin. And that's what we'll do with the Riboy of Ish from Nidarim, and that's what we'll do with the Bnei Yisrael exclusion by Arachin. So by Arachin, it only partially excludes the Ovid Kochavim, because we can find a way to reconcile between the two. By Nazir, to exclude him completely, because we don't have a way to reconcile between the exclusion of Ovid Kochavim and including him in any of the mitzvot of Nazir. And now the Gemara moves on to the next Mishnah. Mishnah is really a continuation of the previous Mishnah, and then the Gemara will then explicate on this and the previous Mishnah with regards to the difference between the Eved and the Isha. Chumer ba'avadim mi b'nashim. Avadim have a Chumrah that women don't have. The other Mishnah ended off with that there's a Chumrah by Nashim that doesn't exist by Avadim. Why? Shehu mefer nidrei ishto. A husband has the right to nullify his wife's nidarim. Veinu mefer nidrei abdo. But he doesn't have the ability to nullify the nidarim of his Eved. Hefer li ishto. If he nullifies his wife's nether, hefer olamit, it's nullified forever. It's gone. It is completely annulled. Hefer l'avdo, on the other hand, if he annuls his servant's nether, yatzal l'cheirut, when his eved goes free, u'mashlim niziruto, or maybe leave out the vav, mashlim niziruto, he completes his nizirut. So now the way that the Mefaresh explains this, and one of the ways that the Rosh brings to explain this, is that the latter half of the Mishnah is explaining the first half of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Avadim have a Chumrah over Nashim, and then in the latter half of the Mishnah, it gives you the example of where that's true. That is, in the annulment of the nether by the husband, that is a permanent annulment. It's as if the nether now is gone completely. On the other hand, for the annulment of the nether of an Eved, it's a suspension, it's not a complete annulment. And therefore, if the Eved goes free, or attains his freedom at some point, you will have to then complete his commitment. And according to the Mefaresh over here, Mashlim, means that he counts the days that he had before his master nullified it, and then he'll continue that count when he becomes a free man. He'll start from whatever day he left off with and continue from that point forward. The Rosh, on the other hand, brings another alternative, which is that there are actually two statements in the Mishnah. That the Mishnah says, Chomer b'avadim b'nashim, that's one statement, and then there's the latter half of the Mishnah that gives you a difference in the Hafara. Again, the second statement will be the same as we explained before, but now the first part of the Mishnah talks about a Chumrah. It's a different chumah, which is once the husband is mefer, nullifies his wife's neder nizirut, then the neder nizirut is annulled completely, and he can't re-engage her or force her to complete the neder nizirut because he nullified it. On the other hand, when it comes to the eved, again, it's only a suspension. And that means that as long as the master wants to compel him not to keep the net in his root, he can't do so. But at any moment that he decides that he doesn't want to do that anymore, he can then obligate the Eved to re-engage in his neder nizirut, even when he is still under the auspices of the master. The Tosafot, along the lines of what the Rosh says over here, gives a third explanation to the Mishnah, which is, Chomer Bavadim Sheinu Mefer Nidreishto, She'af Benizirut Mocheh, Benitretzeh Shuv Lo Yochol Lahatir. That if the master objects to the neder nizirut of his Eved, and then decides that he's okay with it, or he reconciles with the fact that he'll be a Nazir, Shuv lo yachol lahatir, kim etarat chacham. At that point, he cannot then change his mind again. So the Baal and the Adon have rights to be made for the neder, but by the Isha, once he's made for the neder, that's the end of the neder. On the other hand, the Baal Yitos would say, by an Eved, when he's made for it, if he then decides afterwards that he wants to be mikayim that neder, and then he can compel him to keep the neder, and then it will be binding, and he will no longer have the right to be made for. He'll no longer have the right to cause the Eved to leave that neder nizirut, as opposed to the Rosh, who says that he can turn it on and off as he pleases. Here, Tosaf Balei Tosfot say that he has a right to object, to be micha, to state his displeasure at the time that he hears the neder from his Eved. And if he does so, he can cause him to suspend the neder. But once he gives his approval or tacit approval to the neder of the Eved, then he cannot reverse it anymore. And that's even after he was moche in the beginning. If he changes his mind later on, then that will be binding, and then the Eved will have to continue to keep this neder nizirut, and the Baal will not have the ability then to nullify it once again. The Rambam actually gives a third explanation to our Mishnah, which is a very novel approach to the Mishnah, which is, says that the word hafara works by an isha. That's the vehicle, the nullification is the way to annul the neder of an isha when the husband does it. And that we've seen before in the Gemara, the difference between hatarat neder, which is exercised by the chacham, versus hafarat neder, which is done by the Baal. But what the Rambam says here in the Parish of Mishnayot is, the word hafara is the incorrect method or wording to use when it comes to an Eved. You do not have the right to nullify his nether. You simply have the right to compel him to violate the nether if it's necessary for his work. And therefore, if the person then says to the Eved that he's being mayfair his nether nizirut, we're going to interpret his word mayfair not to mean that he nullifies the nether nizirut, but rather that he is now freeing the Eved. And in freeing the Eved, that's what the Mishnah continues to say, that once the Eved is free, now he has to keep his neder nizirut. The master now has given up his rights in his Eved. And now he is a free man, and that's why he has to keep the neder, because he's no longer an Eved under the auspices of this master. Now the Gemara asks over here, Tana Banan, Lamara Bo Kofo Linaziruto Avolonindarim. Why does the master have the right to compel the Eved to abrogate his Neder Nizirut, but he doesn't have that right by Nidarim or Arachin? Maishna Gabi Nazir. What's different by Nazir Dama Rachmana? Because the Pasuk says, Lesor Isar Al Nafsho. Bemish Nafsho Knuyalo. Yatza Eved, Shein Nafsho Knuyalo. The drosha that we saw in yesterday's daf. And the Pasuk says that the one who has the right to create an Isur on his Nefesh, and we dash in for that, one who has the ownership over his own self, he has the right to engage in such a Isurim or Nidarim. Yetzaevet, the Evet is excluded, he doesn't have such ownership in and of himself, he is subject to the ownership of his master. That's the case, but Nidarim, it should be the same thing. Because that pasuk is not found by Nazir, it's actually found by Nidarim. And we say because of the hekesh between Nidarim and Nazir, we learn from there about the din of Nazir. But that should mean that in terms of a plain neder, it should have the same rule. And therefore, if an Eved engages in a neder, why doesn't the Adon have the right to compel him to abrogate that neder? So it's a case here where the Eved has a bunch of grapes sitting in front of him. Gavei Nidarim, if he takes a nether not to get hana from these grapes, dechei mitzar b'hai, lo mitzar b'achrini. So he won't eat this bunch of grapes, but he'll be able to eat other bunches of grapes, and that won't cause any diminishment in his strength or in his ability to serve his master, and therefore the master doesn't have a right to nullify or force him to abrogate that nether, similar to a husband and a wife, where the husband does not have a right when there's no inui nefesh to nullify the nether of his wife. And one of the examples of things that are not inui nefesh is being oser perot. If he says that perot of this location are asur, then that's not inui nefesh because you can get perot from another location. So here by the Evet, when he takes a netter not to get enough from this grape, this bunch of grapes, he'll get enough from another bunch of grapes. But therefore, lo matzi kofile. Therefore, the adon doesn't have the right to compel him to abrogate the netter. Kabi nizirut, techi mitzar b'hai, itzar b'kulo. By a case of nizirut, if he says that he's a sore, it's not just going to be that he's a sore in this bunch of grapes, he's an asur in grapes in general. And therefore, matzi kofile, he can force him to eat or he can force him to keep up his strength. Because his goof is kanoi to the Adon, and for the rights of the Adon, if he can't keep up with the work, or he's not strong enough because of this neder nizirut, then the owner can force him or compel him to get to full strength. Begabe nidarim milo askinan. Maybe the case here by nidarim is a case delek elahai eshkol, that there's only this bunch of grapes, there's nothing else for the Evet to eat. Tilo achile cholish. And if he doesn't eat it, he's going to get weak. And so there is an impact on the Adon, and nevertheless, we say that he doesn't have a right to override that neder. Ela Amar Rova. Rova suggests over here, or Ela Amar Baye is the other girsa. Kegon Sheyachartzan Munach Lifanav. We're talking about that there were seeds or pits that were left in front of him, things that are not usually eaten or so edible. Gabi Nidarim Bahayhu de Mitzar. It only excludes him from eating that which is in front of him. But Lo Matzi Kofile. Therefore, the Adon cannot compel him to eat it. Or to abrogate his neder. Kabi Nazir, the itzar nami bachrine, by Nazir, where when he makes such a neder nizirut, it affects not only that chartzan, but all chartzan in the world. Matzi kofile, then he can force him because he, Evet can't make a decision to weaken himself when the Adon owns him. Where it says, v'gabi nidarim lo askin and delek alahai chartzan. And similar to what we said before, who says that there's more chartzan around? Maybe this chartzan is all that we have. And if he doesn't eat it, then the Evet will become weak, and yet we still don't give permission to the Adon to override the neder. Elo Amar Abaye, or if you have the Girsa Abaye before, then it would be Elo Amar Rova here. Ma Rabo Tzarich Lekavoto Lenizirut, Vein Tzarich Lekavoto Lenedarim. The answer is that it's not what we thought before. By Nizirut, he has the right to override it. And by Nidarim, he does not have the right to override, but rather it's not necessary to override it. So Rabot Tzarich Lekafoto Lenizirut. He does have to compel him to violate the neder nizirut when he takes the neder nizirut. Vein Tzarich Lekafoto Lenidarim. He doesn't have to force him to abrogate the neder. Vein Tzarich Lekafoto Leshvua. He doesn't have to force him to violate a shvua. My taima. The Gemara Kral, the pasuk says by a shvua, lahara uleitev. When you take a shvua, it can be for the positive and for the negative. Mahatava reshut. Avhara'a reshut. When are you allowed to take a shvuah or neder, or when is it binding on you? Is when you have the right to do good or bad to yourself. When you're under your own auspices, where you can make decisions about yourself. Yotza lahara l'acharim she'en reshut biyado. What you cannot do is take a shvuah or a neder that will impact on other people because you don't own yourself. The adon owns you. And therefore an evid does not have a right to take a shvuah or a neder that will impact on his master. And again, that will be limited to nidarim or shvot that either weaken him or affect his master in some way, or he can't carry out the work or the obligations that he has to his master. And in that case, he will not be entitled to take a neder or shvot. It'll be batel me'elav. It won't even take effect. And that's why the adon doesn't have to be kofahim. On the other hand, by nizirut, it will take effect, and the master will have to compel him to violate that neder nizirut if he wants him to do whatever it is. Now we have to explain why that is. Why is it different by nizirut and nidarim? Why is it automatic by nidarim that it falls away and not true by nizirut? And the Tosfot over here explains why that is by nizirut. Even though it's like a ned there, it's still chal, even though it affects another party. Perisha Rabbi Yitzchak, the Shum Damar Beperakama, the nizirut chal, vafilo davar she'en reshut biado. The nizirut has such power that it's chal on things that you don't even have control over. And that is that you can take a neder nizirut that undermines an existing shvuah. If a person had taken a shvuah to drink wine, or taken a shvuah to eat grapes, and then takes a neder nizirut, the neder nizirut is strong enough to stop you or block your ability to mekayim that shvuah. So you see that neder nizirut works even in cases where technically you do not have a control over the situation or you didn't have a right to do it. Nevertheless, the nizirut is strong enough to come in there and work, despite the fact that you have a shvuah in place. And so too over here, despite the fact that there's ownership of the Adon here, the Nizirul Pichal. Now the owner, the Adon, could then exercise his right to stop the Eved from becoming a Nazir, and it could be Kofehim or Moche B'Adon. But if he doesn't, then the Nizirut will be Chal, assuming that it doesn't affect the Eved's ability to carry out his obligations. And if it does affect it, then the Adon has a right to compel him to violate that Neder Nizirut. And as the Tosfot explains over here, Lekach Yichol Nami Nizirut Eved Kol Zman Shelo Yimache Adon. As long as the Adon does not object, then the Nizirut will take effect. Avodai Micha Inyan Zeh Nidrosh Lesor Yisrael Nafsho. If he does object, then we'll dash in the pasuk of nafsho, and the nizirut will not take effect. If it's not relevant by nidarim, sheno tzarich limchot, because you don't even have to object over there. The nidarim aren't chal. Period. Then we'll use it by nizirut. And over here, it's where it says you don't have to stop my arachim. It's not similar to the no of nidarim. By nidarim, the master's objection is not necessary because the neder falls away by itself. And then by arachin, the master's objection is meaningless, not because the arachin don't take effect, but because it doesn't affect the master at all. If the eved has no money, then it doesn't affect the master. If the eved has his own money, independent of the master, then he can use his money for whatever he so chooses because the master has no rights in that money. And therefore, by arachin, the master has no rights or no relevance. And therefore, the Eved can do whatever he wants. Although the Mifarej does suggest that he doesn't have to be made fair by the Arachin because it's not relevant, because ain gufo kanoilo. He doesn't have any ability to deal with Arachin because he doesn't have any independence to make such commitments. By Nidarim, he doesn't object because the Neder falls away even without the objection of the master. By Nizirut, it will depend on the objection of the master. If he objects, then Nizirut will fall away. Does not object, then the Nizirut will take effect. So you actually have three different categories here between Neder, Nizirut, and Arachin. Now the Mishnah says, Avar mikneged panav, if the Eved ran away, Rabbi Meir Omer lo yishtem. He has to then keep his Neder Nizirut according to Rabbi Meir. While he's in front of the master, he's subject to the master's rule, and the master can object. But now that he ran away, the Nizirut takes effect. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Omer yishtem. Yossi says he should drink, and he should continue to violate that neder nizirut. Lema b'dishmol kamiflege. Let us say that the machloket here of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, in the Mishnah is in this principle of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, mafkir abdo yatzal lechirut vein tzarich get shichrur. An individual who gives up hope or disowns his eved, then that eved acquires himself, is now a free man, and he doesn't need a document of freedom. Rabbi Meir itle d'shmuel. Rabbi Meir holds of this din of Shmuel, and therefore, after the Eved ran away, and the owner has Yehush of getting back the Eved, it's equivalent of disowning or being mafkir the Eved, and therefore the Eved assumes responsibility for himself. If that's the case, now the Neder Nizirut goes into effect, like we said in the previous Mishnah. Once the Eved is free, it goes into effect, and that's why Rabbi Meir says, lo yishteh. But Rabbi Yossi lele the Shmuel. Rabbi Yossi says that's not sufficient grounds for the Eved to gain his freedom. Even if the master gives up hope of getting him back, that's still not a hefker that allows him to be free. He still needs to get shichrur. And so because of that, lo yishteh, he's still subject to the rules of the master, and he can continue drinking wine because he's not yet on his own, where he would be obligated to keep his neder nizirut. But it says, lo, tekuli ama itlu de Shmuel. Everybody holds of Shmuel. Ela manda mar yishteh. The one who says you drink savar sof sof mehader hodor. That in the end, the Eved is going to be caught, or he's going to be brought back, or he'll come voluntarily back to his master. And when he comes back to him, he needs to drink wine. And while he's gone, he should drink wine, so he doesn't get weak. He's got to be at his full strength when he returns to his master. So he should drink wine in the interim to keep up his strength, so that when he does return to the master, he's still in his full capacity. According to Rabbi Meir, who says he may not drink, that's a penalty. That now that he ran away and he's not right under the auspices of his master, this is to the benefit of the master to penalize him by saying he can't drink wine now, that the neder nizirut is in a sense in effect, and he can't drink wine because that will actually compel him to come back to his master, because he's better off under his master where he can drink wine versus when he's on his own where he cannot drink wine. And so in a sense, we penalize him by having him keep the neder nizirut in order to facilitate his return to his master, which will be beneficial to the master. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi believes Yishteh that he should drink to keep up his strength so that when he does return, whether by force or voluntarily to his master, he'll be at full strength in order to carry out his duties as an Eved to his master. Okay, we're going to stop over here by the bottom of Samach Bet Amud Bet.